Good morning, Telling Nation. Welcome, Telling Nation family, friends. Welcome to Telling Tabernacle Live, where our pastor is Elder Jonathan E. Ford. And we just want to welcome everybody that's coming to Facebook and YouTube Live. All right? Now, if you haven't been with us, Pastor's been teaching us on communion so we can get this thing right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So listen, we're just going to pray, but I want everybody at home to just think on and pray about that thing that's keeping you from hearing God or keeping you from getting in line with God. And if you don't know, just say, I don't know. Father God, we look to the hills, from hence cometh our help. Our help cometh from above. Our help cometh from the Lord. And Father, we thank you for your redemption plan, that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son, and those who believe in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. And we thank you, Father, for the blood that was shed on Calvary that paid for, made a way for us to get back to you in Jesus' name, to hear your word, to feel your touch, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. Keep us blessed by our pastor as he teaches the word today, that we can get communion right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Telling Nation. This morning, we're going to be reading from the book of Luke, chapter 22, verses 14 through the 20th verse. This is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled into the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. We are now going to have a selection by Deacon Shell.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Amen.
Well, good morning and God bless you and thank you for joining us once again. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle Live. I'm Pastor Jonathan Ford, and what a real pleasure it is to be with you again. Another Lord's Sunday morning. Somehow, in some kind of way, he's kept us from the last time we were together last Sunday to this Sunday. He's prevented any harm or danger from befalling us. His hands of mercy and protection have been around us, and not only us, but our home and our children and all that pertains to us. God has blessed us and kept us. And so I'm excited. It's only right for us to gather on this day and to offer praise and thanksgiving unto Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, for truly he has done everything for us. Amen. Hey, we're going to jump right to the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles this Sunday to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23-26. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. You follow along, whatever translation you may have. Let me acknowledge my dear friend, Deacon Joseph Shell from the Open Door Baptist Church. Thank you again, man of God, for blessing us with one of the old hymns of the church. Thank God for your service this Sunday morning. Thank God for the Lyons family. What a real pleasure it is to see Reverend Lyons again, looking good, sounding good. Thank God for him, how the Lord has blessed him and recovered him. Thank God for Sister Kim participating in our program, Deaconess Lyons. Thank God really for her on Wednesday night, how every Wednesday night she gets us on Google Meet, getting everyone in, sending out the text, reminding us to gather. What a real blessing she is to our ministry. So thank God for both of you. Now, hopefully you've turned there, and we're just continuing our series on preparing for communion, okay? As I indicated when we started the new year, just want to be committed to getting communion right, getting it right in our hearts, getting it right in our mind that we might have an understanding, that we may weigh the seriousness and the weightiness of this sacrament that has been given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, very familiar passage. We read this every communion service, just about, along with every other church. And so, we've gotten to the point now we're going to begin to dissect some of this and to begin to understand its implication, for us and to us. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father in heaven, we just thank you this morning for the privilege that we have of coming together around your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you this morning for being in our presence, even as we gather virtually. Above all, we thank you for being in our hearts, taking up residence inside of us, and being a barometer that assures us of our salvation, and that also leads us in the path of righteousness. We remember the words of the prophet that says he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Christ Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for paying the price for our sins. We thank you this morning for giving us this sacrament by which we can remember and reflect on your great gift to us, the outpouring of God's love on all humanity. And so we thank you and we praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's take a look at what we're working with here. Have you ever heard this phrase? Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. It means to have extensive knowledge of or close association with someone or something that leads to a loss of respect for them or it. To have extensive knowledge or close association with someone or something that leads to a loss of respect for it or them. One of the challenges that I think the church faces surrounding communion specifically is that it is something we do on such a consistent and regular basis, whatever that frequency might be, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually, whatever it is, but it is a very common occurrence in the church to have communion, to come to the Lord's Supper. And what this phrase, familiarity breeds contempt, alludes to the things that we do on a consistent basis. There is a tendency for us, as a part of our human nature, to lose respect, to lose the seriousness that may be associated with it or with someone, and over time beginning to devalue it. In some ways, this is often what happens in the life of a marriage. Those closest to us, those we love the dearest, because they're close and because we know them and they know us, we can over time, unintentionally, or sometimes intentionally, but most often unintentionally, we can lose value for them because we see them every day. We know, or at least we think we know everything about them, and so they lose that sense of specialness or uniqueness to us, and over time they become less important to us. And just as that can happen within the context of a marriage, I believe that can also happen within the context of the communion service, because we do it on an often, because it is a known occurrence in the church, that over time, many in the church begin to devalue the importance of communion, begin to lose the respect that should be given to the communion service and to the Lord's Supper. Can even get you to the point where some people don't even come to church for communion. They don't see it as special. They don't see it as an urgent event requiring our best attention and our best attendance. And over time, it just loses its luster in terms of importance and significance in the life and culture of the church. And Taylor Nation, I want to tell you, that should never be the case, okay? The reason I am spending so much time at the beginning of this year teaching on the Lord's Supper is so that, and this is my subject today, that we never allow communion to become common. If we do, it is then that saying, that quote, familiarity will then begin to breed contempt for the most sacred commandment given to the New Testament church. And so as we strive to get communion right, the first step we must take is in how we approach communion. And how we approach communion must be that we can never allow it to become common, just another thing we do in the life of the church. Because believers, beloved, it is far more than that. Amen? So am I working through here, and I got to apologize to all of you. I haven't, over the last couple of weeks, been able to put together my slides like I normally do to accompany the sermon. And so as I go through, if there's something that is unique that should be noted, someone help me by just putting it in the chat so we can all see it. So whether you're on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, put that in there. And if you want to start by putting that quote, familiarity leads to content, that would be a good thing to put in that chat box so that can keep it center of mind for us. So here we go. Let's look at this passage. We hear it every communion Sunday. The pastors preach it. The ministers read it. Deacons. It says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Paul starts out here by saying, "I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you." This is interesting for me because Paul is pointing out to his readers, to those at the church at Corinth, this is not the first time I've talked to you about communion, okay? Paul is reiterating, this is not new truth. This is not new information. He says, this is stuff I have delivered to you previously. And so when I read this, what jumped out to me in my spirit was, for us as pastors, for us as preachers, ministers of the gospel, we should be preaching the communion and its significance often in our preaching and teaching in the life of the church. If the church begins to lose value or begins to lose its understanding of the importance of communion, it first falls at the feet of those who oversee it. And as pastors and preachers, that falls on us. And like I said, I was moved in my spirit to begin to do a series on communion just because I felt it had gone down, and it had gone down. I can't blame the congregation. I had to ask myself, well, when's the last time I preached a sermon on communion, preached a sermon about communion to raise it up again in the consciousness of the church? And so that responsibility falls first on us as pastors and as ministers of the gospel, that we are revisiting and stressing the importance of the Lord's Supper and the communion service on a consistent basis in the life of the church. Not only during the communion service, but at other times drawing references or going back to the communion service. And I love preaching on communion like we are doing now before we actually take communion so that we can get prepared for communion so that we can finally get it right. And so Paul is saying, I'm going to revisit. And again, like we heard on last Sunday, Paul is finding a need to go back and revisit this because of the reports he is hearing about how the church at Corinth was conducting themselves at the communion service. And so obviously at the church at Corinth, they had already begun to devalue or lose the significance, lose the importance of the communion service, that it had turned into debauchery. It didn't even come close to what Christ intended. It wasn't even in the ballpark of what Paul had instructed them. Carnality had crept in. Greed and gluttony had crept in to the Lord's Supper, and it was now some kind of grotesque, misshapen, and just ill-advised coming together of selfishness and gluttony. And Paul, as the father of the Corinthian church, said, no, I got to speak on this again. I've got to preach on this again because you guys are not getting it right. And what you'll find later in his writing, he said, if you don't get your act together, you don't even realize that you are eating and drinking damnation to yourself. So preachers, be on alert. Pastors, be on guard. Work it into your preaching schedule to preach on and about the significance of the Lord's Supper. Because left to our own devices, left to our humanity, left to our carnality, we will drift away from the significance required to have communion and fellowship with our Lord and Savior. He said, if I received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, he says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. This is interesting. We got to dig into this. If you're with me, somebody put in the chat, betrayal. Betrayal. Betrayal is the breaking or violation of a presumptive contract, presumptiv. It is the breaking or violation of a presumptive contract, trust, or confidence that produces moral or psychological conflict within a relationship amongst individuals or between organizations or between an individual and an organization. Betrayal is the breaking or violation of a contract, a trust, or a confidence that produces moral and psychological conflict within a relationship. Now get this. Here he is on the eve before his death. He's celebrating Passover with his disciples in the upper room. He's now revealing to them the coming of the new church, the inauguration of the new covenant, okay, which will last throughout all eternity. And the Bible says that on the very same night he was betrayed. Oh my God, you got to get that. The same night that he's going from the Passover meal to the communion service to the Lord's Supper, for going to what is to become his death, his crucifixion, just hours away, that same night on this great event for the New Testament church, that at the table was betrayal. Matthew says it like this, Matthew 26:21, if you want to put it in the chat. He said, now as they were eating, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you will betray me. They were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Am I the betrayer? And he answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And then Judas, read the text. Then Judas, who was betraying him, he's taking communion, and at the very same time he's taking communion, the text says he was betraying him, not he had betrayed him, or at the very same moment he was betraying Christ Jesus. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. Get this. The reference to the betrayal of the Lord reminds us that from its very institution, the communion meal has always been in danger of being eaten by those who fail to live out its true meaning and purpose. All right, I'm going to say it again because I know you want that. The reference to the betrayal of the Lord reminds us that from its very institute, from the very beginning, the Lord's Supper has always been in danger of being eaten by those who fail to live out its true meaning and its purpose. And so what I got in my notes here is, don't take communion with a Judas spirit. Don't you be the one sitting at the table, handling his body, drinking his blood, and at the same time are betraying him. At the same time living a life contrary to the principles, contrary to the edict, the manner in which Christ lived his life, and also in which Christ gave his life. Don't ever allow communion to become common. This meal, this gathering, meant so little to Judas that he could conspire for 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord's Savior. It can happen. It can happen to the best of us. That's why we got to preach and teach on communion, so we don't come to the Lord's table as a betrayer to the Lord and Savior. Here it is. You got it. Here it is. Let's work it out. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, the text said what? He took bread. Yet, in spite of the betrayal, in spite of the opposition that was against him, not from the outside, but this is something you gotta know about betrayal. Betrayal can only happen on the inside. Oh my God, help me! Betrayal can only happen from someone close enough to you, someone close enough to dip in the same cup with you. This is different from your enemy attacking you. You already know that they hate you. You already know that they're out for your end. But what do you do when Judas sits at the same table? I love it because in spite of the betrayal, the Bible said Jesus still took up the bread. He kept on with the meal. He kept on with the supper. He was not deterred, nor was he denied from fulfilling what God had called him to do. Oh my God, I thank you. I thank you. The betrayal couldn't stop him. The betrayal of Jesus couldn't undermine the plan of God.
Jesus did not allow Judas to stop God's plan of redemption for us. The Roman writer tells us in 5 and 8, but God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While they were betraying him, he still died. While they left him, forsook him, left him alone to carry his own cross, he still died for all of us. This is why we can never allow communion to become common. It wasn't common for Jesus. It wasn't common for God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even while being betrayed, Jesus did not allow Judas. Jesus did not allow Peter. Jesus did not allow the disciples who fled at his arrest. Nor did he allow the Jewish guards. Nor did he allow the Roman militia or the religious leaders of his day to stop God's plan of salvation. Hallelujah. This is why communion can never become common. This is why we must reverence the sacrifice of God. Hallelujah, in the form of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody in the church say, hallelujah to God. I done got all worked up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Here it is. Here it is, verse 24. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. In spite of it all, he still took the bread. Hallelujah to God. Get this, get this. I'm in verse 24. And when he had given thanks, here it is. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 24 starts by saying, after taking up the bread in his own hands, said when he had given thanks. In the African American tradition, we call this saying grace, in which we offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the provision of food we are about to receive and eat. In like manner, Jesus was thanking God for the provision of the Passover meal and the Jews' deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, which now, in the context of the Lord's Supper and under the new covenant, represents deliverance from the bondage of sin for his disciples and for all who believe in Jesus Christ, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that sacrifice was the body of Jesus Christ. He is our provision. He is what God provided so that we could escape the curse and penalty of sin. He had given thanks. So he thanks God, watch this, for the provision for the disciples. He thanks God for the provision for the disciples gathered at the table. But then he goes on, and I want you to see this. He's also thanking God for this. He goes on to say that he took the bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus thanked God for the body he had been given, that he was now offering up to God as the sacrifice for humanity's sin. So he not only thanked God for the provision for the disciples, But he now thanked God for the provision God had given to him so that he could be the propitiation for our sin. Because Jesus Christ, in his God-like nature, in his spiritual form, could not offer a sacrifice for sin. That's why he says the Hebrew writer gets this, Hebrew 10, 5 through 7. He says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. Look at somebody and say, thank God for his body. He said, burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, in thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, look at Jesus speak up, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, and to do the will of God, and in order to offer a sacrifice for sins against God, our Savior needed a body. He needed a body to go on Calvary's cross. He needed a body in order for his hands to be nailed. He needed a body in order for his side to be pierced. He needed a body in order to wear a crown of thorns. And John picked it up and said the word of God was made flesh and it dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the body that he gave Jesus. I thank God for the hands that he gave to Jesus. I thank God for the feet that he gave to Jesus so they could be nailed to the cross for your sins and for my sins. I thank God for the body of Christ, which he offered up on the cross, so that you and I could receive salvation. Somebody in the church shout yes. Here it is. Here it is. It's the body of Christ. He said, I thank you, hallelujah, for the body, hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he gave his body. Here it is, even as Christ, get this, I'm going to close here, I'm coming short. Here it is, even as Christ offered his body, so we should be reminded to also offer our bodies unto the Lord God. Here it is. The Roman writer, Romans 12 and 1, put it in the chat. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to never let communion become common ever again, but present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy to God and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. Whatever you do, don't ever expect Christ to constantly give his body over and over and over. He died once and for all. And until he comes again, you and I ought to give our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. Offer him your hands. Offer him your feet. Offer him your mouth, your brain, your arms, your legs. Live for God. For God I live, and for God I will die. I the bridge. Somebody shout yes. Are you giving your body for Christ? Is your body a living sacrifice? I'll close with this because I'm all over the place here now. Don't ever allow communion to become common. I got people screaming all over my house. They don't know what's going on. Don't allow his body to become common. Don't allow his blood to become common. Always remember that by his body and through his blood, we have gained the remission of our sins. And now I understand why Paul concluded his letter, 1 Corinthians 15:57. He said, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know about you. We only got through the bread, but I thank God for the victory that we have now through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll never allow communion to become common again. I'll always give it the reverence, the respect, the adoration it deserves, because God is an awesome God. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he gave his body. While we betrayed him, he shed his blood. While we turned our back on his love, he died. He died. He died for us. And as a result, I'll never allow communion to ever become common. I'll resist the temptation to let it be just become something we do. I'll resist the temptation to let it become so familiar that it breeds contempt in my own heart. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the wonderful plan of salvation. Oh my God, I thank you. Thank you for bearing our sins in your own body. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I bless your name. Thank you for this stark reminder that we receive every time we come to the communion table. How we are reminded the great sacrifice you made, the price you paid for the remission of our sins. Thank you for making us one with you, even as you are one with the Father. Thank you for making us one with one another, that we are not separate individuals, but collectively, we are one body in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for answering the prayer of Jesus Christ, for making us one. And I thank you how we look forward to the day when you come again, and we'll be one with you at the marriage supper of the Lamb, no longer separated human and failing flesh, but we'll be one with you, one with the Father in the New Jerusalem. And so, Lord, I thank you. I pray that the communion service always be a reminder to the faithful and a beacon of hope to the faithless, that they might see the glory and wonder and splendor of God's plan of salvation. Say to themselves, what must I do to be saved? And so, Father, we give you the glory, honor, praise, and all thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you.
As always, thank you for your attention and attentiveness. And at this time, the service is now in the hands of whoever is next. God bless you, Taylor.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor 61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
When you decide to join us for the in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family has had contact with anyone who has had the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. Additionally, the church van service is suspended until further notice. Please keep this in mind so you can plan your transportation accordingly. Sunday service will be virtual for the rest of the entire month of January. Wednesday night is prayer and Bible study, 7 to 8:30 p.m. via Google Meet. On January 17th is Martin Luther King Day of Service. This MLK Day, let's come together to volunteer, learn, and make a difference in our community. The Jewish Federation of Greater Philadelphia's Jewish Community Relations Council is proud to sponsor the Global Citizen Greater Philadelphia Martin Luther King Day of Service. Take part in the oldest and largest MLK Day event in the nation. To honor Dr. King's legacy on Monday, January 17th, 2022, you can volunteer to join JCRC for a morning cleanup at Finley Recreation Center in East Monterey. You can learn and register for a webinar co-sponsored by the Alliance of Trust and JCRC. And you can participate in a day full of opportunities with the Global Citizen. To learn more about the Alliance of Trust, Global Citizen, and JCRC, contact Jason Holtzman at jholtzman@jewishphilly.org with questions or to just share where you'd be volunteering. And at this time, our Pastor Ford will join us again for the benediction.
Well, welcome back, and thank you, Jessica, and thank you, Logan, for the instructions for our giving and for those announcements. I do just want to add my voice specifically to the announcement regarding the webinar on tomorrow. The role of women in sports and how it affects racism and anti-Semitism. Some of you may or may not have been able to join on Friday. We had this same webinar on Friday, but we are going to be replaying it. So if you missed it, it was on a Friday. Because of schedules, we couldn't conduct it on Martin Luther King Day, so we had it on the Friday before. But realizing many were at work and still engaged in their day, what we're going to do is replay that webinar. And then Rabbi Strauss and I are going to have a discussion or a conversation about it, especially as it affects African-American and Jewish people and us working together. So I really want you to get on. I'm really inviting the women to get on because you want to hear from these women. They won't be live. Their part has been recorded on Friday. But these are some tremendous women doing some absolutely incredible things in our country. So you're going to want to tune in, hear what these women have to say, and you'll be blessed about it. We're all talking about it in light of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. So with that being said, you must register first. That Zoom link, you just can't go to it tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It won't work. You have to register today. What they will do is send you an email that has the link in order for you to participate. So I'm really asking everybody, Taylor Nation, go in, register today, get the email back with the link, and join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock as we commemorate the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. Amen. So I wanted to say that, put my voice behind that. Lastly, I want to thank everybody this Sunday for wearing your Eagles paraphernalia and or Pittsburgh Steelers paraphernalia. Thank you for supporting the home teams in Philadelphia today, and the Eagles at 1, the Steelers later on this evening. Thank you for your support, and we're going to need to pray for them, okay? We realize that they got to play, but we got to pray. Amen. So thank you for that, and I think that's everything. Thank you for being so faithful in your attendance. Thank you for being so faithful in your giving and supporting the ministry. I really, really, really appreciate it. Continue to go to TaylorTabernacle.com. If you have any questions regarding communion or the Lord's Supper, again, keep sending them to me. I'm compiling a list. Hopefully before the end of the month, I'll be addressing all of them one by one. And so I'm looking forward to that. So take advantage of our website. Take advantage of the chat. Submit your questions and comments regarding communion so that it can be a blessing to you. Okay? So with that being said, I don't want to delay the hour. We'll have our benediction, and we'll see you on next week. Okay? God bless you. So with all heart and minds in agreement, with our eyes closed and with our heads bowed, peace to the brethren and sisterins in the body of Christ, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you a peace at all times and in all ways. The Lord be with you both now and forever. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. I love you. I'll see you next Sunday.